You said YES to buying an HDB flat together. Now, there's another three letters to take note of.
ILY?
I know, BTO.
No, HFE. You need a valid HDB flat eligibility letter. If you're applying for your BTO flat, it takes about a month to process your HFE application. So, if you haven't gotten an HFE letter, apply at homes.hdb.gov.sg. That's homes.hdb.gov.sg.
It's Gold 905. Sounds good. Feels good. Denise with you on this tasty Thursday with a brand new episode of Makan Kakis. And today we're joined once again by someone from the MasterChef Singapore kitchen. We've had judges Audra Morris as well as Bjorn Shin. And now it's our third judge, Chef Damien De Silva's turn. So, Chef, let's catch up with you personally, because besides being a judge on MasterChef Singapore, you're also pretty busy running your own F&B business. And I hear you've rolled out some sedap new dishes at your restaurant Kin at Straits Clan on Bukit Pasoh Road. Tell us a little bit more.
So at Kin, things have actually not changed much. If anything, some of the food have gone and new ones have appeared. And I think we do that at Kin to keep it alive, to keep the boys in the kitchen on their toes. If you do the same thing, you perfect it, but because you cook it all the time, you tend to get tired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's almost like an artist.
Yep.
If you ask the artist to paint the same picture day in and day out, he's going to get bored.
Yeah.
Right? So here, you have the same thing. We have food that we cook with soap, but new items are added all the time so that we are on our toes, right? What we try and bring is that we try and bring the different ethnicities to Kin. So during Hari Raya, what's going to happen is that we're going to have a Hari Raya menu. So with Easter, we have some Easter things as well.
Oh, like what?
Well, we have the murtabak, which is a thing that my granddad used to do. So it's basically minced beef that's stir-fried with our own homemade curry powder.
Yum!
And then it's wrapped in like an egg crab. No, it's not the first murtabak in Singapore. It's just granddad's rendition.
It's really part of your family heritage.
It is, it is. And he used to make this only during Easter. And the reason for that is almost like celebration. And that's why there's meat. It's not practiced as much now as it was before, right? Before Lent was, I mean, if you're Catholic, it's really serious, you know. No meat, eat bread, drink water. I mean, that's what we had to go through, lah.
Right.
Today, you know, it's not so much practiced like that. But to bring that back to Easter, for me, it's very nostalgic. It reminds me of granddad preparing it and then bringing it to the table, and we eat it with a chili sauce. So these are the things that we try and bring. You know, I've got some memories, but I want people to also have their memories. For example, for Hari Raya, we're going to do bamia. And bamia is a Middle Eastern dish that came to this part of the world with the Arab traders.
Mm-hmm.
And on special occasions, even in the Middle East countries, they would cook bamia. So it's usually mutton or sheep. Actually, mutton and sheep is the same, lah. Sheep is the animal, mutton is the meat. And I get very comical comments from some people in the market, right? So I says, what is that? This is sheep. I says, no, that's mutton. No, sir, this is sheep. Mutton is local, sheep is imported. What are you trying to kid, man? But it's so funny, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's cooked with mutton and it has okra in it.
Mm.
And it's cooked with a kind of a homemade curry powder as well.
Yeah.
So it's a rich, earthy, thick stew that you eat with either roti or you eat with nasi pulao,
right,
which is basically kind of like Arabian style rice. So that's what we're doing. Chinese New Year, we had a Chinese New Year menu. Christmas, we had a Christmas menu. And eventually, when we have Deepavali, we'll have an Indian menu. So every ethnicity is taken care of.
Wow. I mean, that's what makes Kin a truly Singaporean restaurant.
Yes. And that's what I've always wanted to be, Denise. I always wanted to celebrate Singapore. And I want people, more than anything else, to not forget who we are and where we came from. Because to me, that's really important. If you're Chinese,
yeah,
whether you're Hakka, Teochew, you know, there's always a special dish that would remind you of your roots.
For sure. So are there any other dishes you want to highlight for your seasonal Easter menu?
Yeah, we've got a daging masa ijau, which is strip loin, and then we fry it with a green chili sambal, and that's really, really good.
Mouth watering. I'm drooling.
And then we also have my Auntie Zainab's prawn sambal.
Ooh, who's that?
So Auntie Zainab was my dad's best friend's wife. And I think her sambal, for the ingredient that it has, it's very difficult after eating it, right, to visualize that it only contains dried chilies. Of course, you have your flavors, lime juice, your salt, and a little bit of brown sugar. But, you know, people would think, oh, there are no onions in there, there's no garlic, there's nothing else. No. It's just dried chilies that's cooked for about 4 hours. So you got to eat it to understand why it's so complex. So it's more the cooking process, you know, than anything else.
It's time that makes things complex.
You're right. I also have on the menu my late father's favorite dish, which is quite bizarre because that is more Ang Mo than it is Eurasian. That wasn't, so to speak, the upper tens kind of guy, right? He was very straightforward, but he was brought up to not eat chili. A lot of things he didn't eat. So he survived on cheese, tea, bread. He would eat food that was not that spicy. If we went to the hawker centre, the dish that Dad would always ask for is Uncle Bob.
What or who is Uncle Bob?
So Uncle Bob is Juhu Eng Tai.
Oh, kangkong veggies and cuttlefish.
I don't know why. I have no idea, and I never actually had the opportunity to ask him that. But that's Juhu Eng Tai for him, Uncle Bob. So I tried to create from memory the Juhu Eng Tai that we used to eat in Joo Chiat. In the past in Joo Chiat, just in front of Palace Theatre, Marshall Road, and where you went through the back lane, there was a huge tin roof that covered maybe about 400 square feet. And there were a few stalls there that sold different food. And one of them was Juhu Eng Tai. And whenever Dad went there, right, he will ask for this dish. So I'm close, but I'm not 100% there yet.
Another new dish on your menu. And really for Juhu Eng Tai, it's all about getting the sauce right, yeah?
Yeah. The sauce basically is heiko.
The thick, pungent prawn paste.
It's sesame paste, a little bit of chili and lime juice, dark soy as well, to try and balance the heiko. Otherwise, it becomes too powerful. These are, I would say, the components. But I'm trying to, from taste memory, remember how this gentleman's sauce used to be. I think I've got it, but I think I'm only 90% there. So I'm still struggling with it. But you try it and you tell me whether or not it's okay.
Yeah, if you're tuned in now and you know what Chef Damien is talking about, let us know.
You know, if it goes on the air, who knows? People remember and want to come here and try it and then tell me, no, I think there's another ingredient. Or maybe they might know the ingredient, you know?
Yep.
I think there's too many things out there that have been forgotten. For me as a heritage chef, I take it that it's my responsibility to ensure that I put on people's memory as much as possible that I remember from my childhood. So that they can, for example, you know, like on Beach Road where the Shaw House used to be, and we walk down a little bit, there's a small corner lane and that's where it used to sell it. And this is true, no, they used to, but he's gone and the noodles can't be found anymore. So I will try and recreate it from memory.
Now this is truly an endeavor to pay tribute to your heritage, but also to the food of our entire nation.
For sure, girl. For sure.
And in recent days, you've been on TV in front of the entire nation. Of course, you're one of the judges of MasterChef Singapore. I have to ask, because, you know, we're now down to 6 contestants going forward. Anyone we should be looking out for in the coming weeks or any of the previous contestants you were sad to see go?
I would say the one that I really was sad seeing go, and a lot of people, I think, won't agree with me, but I saw a lot of potential in this person, is Inch.
Right, singer-songwriter Inch Chua. Yeah, she was part of the top 12.
Because of what she did, right? And then the next episode, to see her execute a dish like that, something was just not right. And I just told myself, right, that there was something probably troubling this girl.
Right, because what you're feeling comes through in your food. That's why they say cooking is affected by your emotions.
For sure. Even in the kitchen, right, I always tell my boys, if you're having a bad day, you know, your mood is not there, can you go and sit somewhere, please, and let someone else do the job? Because it's going to affect the food, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, as a chef that cooks all the time, I really know. On the other side of it, do I have favorites? I like Trish. I like Leon. And I must say, the mad scientist, lah. Do you know who the mad scientist is?
Derek.
Yeah. I think they're my favorites because of how they do things. One is technically apt. The other one has got a lot of soul. And of course, you know, Trish is so bubbly, full of confidence, you know, wanting to prove more, not only to herself, but also to everybody out there.
Yeah.
And she's a real chili padi, lah.
Ooh, and we love the spice.
You know what I mean? This small girl with so much energy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll be definitely scrutinizing the competition even closer now based on what you've just shared. By the way, you can catch the new season of MasterChef Singapore every Sunday, 9:30 p.m. on Channel 5 or MeWatch. We're going to go for a quick break. We'll be back with more from MasterChef Singapore judge Damien De Silva in just a few.